Live from NPR News, I'm Lakshmi Singh. In an exchange of briefs on the eve of former President Trump's second impeachment trial, House Democrats are dismissing the defense's arguments. Here's NPR's Tamara Keith.
Trump's lawyers argue that it isn't constitutional to hold an impeachment trial for a former president and that Trump's rhetoric wasn't intended to inspire violence. Trump has been impeached and faces trial on a single count of incitement of insurrection after his supporters stormed the Capitol to stop certification of the election results, following weeks of Trump denying the election outcome and encouraging his supporters at a rally that day to go to the Capitol and fight like hell. The House impeachment managers write that the defenses set out by Trump's team are, quote, wholly without merit and later, quote, utterly baseless. They say inciting an insurrection is an impeachable offense, isn't subject to a motion to dismiss, and should be considered by the Senate. Tamara Keith, NPR News.
The impeachment trial will take place under coronavirus restrictions designed to reduce the risk of senators getting infected. Lawmakers have already lost one colleague to the pandemic. Two-term Representative Ron Wright died yesterday, about 2 weeks after he was diagnosed with COVID-19. He was 67 years old. The onset of more contagious variants of the virus is fueling the push to get more people vaccinated more quickly. Some scientists argue that the Biden administration should delay the second dose of the coronavirus vaccine so more people can get there first. NPR's Richard Harris reports public health leaders warn that's not a good idea.
The United Kingdom has been delaying time between doses to accelerate rollout of its vaccine. But that's a different vaccine, and there's no data showing that strategy would work with the vaccines in use here. At a White House briefing, Anthony Fauci, the nation's top infectious disease doctor, said even studying the question doesn't make sense.
That study, with all due respect, would take several months to get a meaningful answer. At that time, the amount of vaccine that would be available would almost be making that question somewhat of a moot point.
Fauci has consistently said that his strategy is to get people fully protected as quickly as possible, rather than giving more people partial immunity with a single dose. Richard Harris, NPR News.
Masks and social distancing are still considered the most effective weapons against the pandemic. Frontline medical workers have been saying that for months. Still, thousands of football fans, many of them without masks, fled the streets of Tampa to celebrate the Buccaneers' Super Bowl victory last night, despite a mask order. Mayor Jane Castor says that's not the norm.
There just has to be that level of personal responsibility. You can supply everyone with a mask, advise them of the science behind it, and expect that they are going to abide by the mask order.
Mayor Castor is heard on WFTS. You're listening to NPR News. Electric automaker Tesla has announced a big investment in the cryptocurrency Bitcoin and also says it may start to accept the digital currency for car purchases in the future. Here's NPR's Camila Domonoske.
Bitcoin values soared last year, and these days it's not just techno-utopians or anti-government types who are promoting the cryptocurrency. A few mainstream companies have dipped their toes into Bitcoin, too. But Tesla is doing more of a cannonball. The automaker sank $1.5 billion in Bitcoin in January, an announcement that has made waves in the cryptocurrency community. Tesla also says it plans to accept Bitcoin as payment for vehicles in the future. The news is not entirely a surprise. Tesla CEO Elon Musk has expressed enthusiasm for Bitcoin before, but Musk tweets out a lot of memes, and only some of them lead to billion-dollar investments. Camila Domonoske, NPR News.
The digital currency jumped more than 14% on the news, reaching an all-time high of more than $44,000 for one Bitcoin. The Biden administration is re-engaging with the UN Human Rights Council after a nearly three-year absence. The decision, expected to draw criticism from conservative members of Congress who accused the UNHRC of placing disproportionate focus on Israel. Secretary of State Tony Blinken says the U.S. recognizes the Human Rights Council is a flawed body in need of reform to its agenda, membership, and focus. But Blinken says when the council works well, it shines a spotlight on countries with the worst human rights records. The Dow closes up 237 points. This is NPR.